Let's look at the next covenant. Sexual fulfillment, ladies. You covenanted to make your marriage sexually exciting. You covenanted to do that. Lord, we pray that as we study this topic, that you would give us listening ears and understanding minds. And that as the women who are to whom this applies would love you and obey you in this area. Bless us and give us marriages set apart by your word. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Okay. Now, be honest. If someone were to say to you, what is more spiritual? Spending 3 hours in the evening talking to your wife, ministering to her emotional needs, sharing your deepest thoughts, praying and sharing over the word, or 3 hours of great sex, what would be more spiritual? What would most people say? What? Honestly, what would we say? What would they say? They would say talking, wouldn't they? But that's not true. They are equally spiritual. They are equally spiritual. And we're going to see that from the Word of God. The reason you think it's more spiritual is women rule the book market and the marriage seminar market. And publishers know this. Conference leaders know this, that if the women don't come, the women don't buy, it's not going to happen. So they pander to the women and don't teach this clearly. The second reason is that men and women are to believe what God says, but they're not supposed to respond empathetically. Like when I talk to you men about getting in touch with your wife's emotional needs, I don't want you to think like a woman. I just want you to believe what God says. Does that make sense? And when I talk to the women about having a sexually exciting marriage, I don't want them to learn to think like a man. I simply want them to believe what God says about how a woman ministers to her husband. And to tell you the truth, New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, my anniversary, my birthday, the last place I want my wife is the Christian bookstore. Because she'll read books by women. Oh, make a list of all the things you're thankful for. Leave little notes around. Have a romantic dinner. And then sit and just hold hands and talk. No. That's what Eleanor should do if she married her sister. But ladies, you didn't marry your sister. You married a man. And it is impossible for a woman who is healthy spiritually to think like a man. So I'm not asking you to think like a man. I'm just asking you to believe what the Bible says about men. That's what I'm asking you. For instance, ladies, I want you to consider three ways that God has created you sexually different from men, and it is so different that you can't imagine it. Okay, first, ladies who are listening, can any of you come to a full orgasm simply by looking at a naked man that you've never seen before? Is that possible? No, in fact, you'd find it a little repulsive, wouldn't you? But that's what the whole pornography industry is built upon, isn't it? Men coming to sexual climaxes looking at undressed women that they don't know. And in fact, it's a great temptation for your husband. But you can't even imagine that, can you? Let me ask you another question, ladies. Can you imagine being sexually stimulated when you don't want to be? Can you imagine that? You don't want to be? No. In fact, being sexually stimulated when you don't want to be is one of the most traumatic things that can happen to a woman. But your husband struggles with it all the time. It's a constant struggle to them. And the third thing is, ladies, are you ever tempted to bring yourself by manual stimulation to a sexual orgasm? And the women say, no, I'm not tempted to do that. That's a constant temptation for men. That they struggle from it, with it from puberty till they're married, and if their wives don't minister to them sexually, they continue to struggle with it. So ladies, if you don't want to make your marriage sexually exciting, who do you want to do it? Who? Who do you want to do it? You say, nobody. So you just want to trap your husband, don't you? And ladies, this is not a sexually exciting encounter. Okay, my grandmother said you would want to do that. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, are you done? Okay, and then you roll over. Falling asleep during sex, complaining, controlling, that's not sexually exciting. So, don't do that. So let's look at what the Bible says, shall we? First, we're going to look at some verses here. Let's look at Esther first. Is Esther one of the good guys in the Bible? We name our daughters Esther, so we like Esther. Okay, great. So let's go look at Esther. We consider here her a spiritual woman, one of the heroines of the faith, don't we? So let's look. Now, in Esther 2, Esther has been given to this king in marriage, hasn't he? Hasn't she? Okay? So there she is. In verse 9, now the young lady pleased him and found favor with him, so he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and food and gave her 7 choice maids from the king's palace and transferred her and her maids to the best place in the harem. And then, what does it say in verse 12? Now when the turn of each young lady came to go into the king, Esther, after the end of her 12 months, under the regulations for women, for the days of their beautification were completed as follows: 6 months with oil and myrrh, 6 months with spices and cosmetics for women. Now, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same time period. When they were given all of the emoluments and the foods and the lifestyle of the princes, what did they do? What did Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego do? They prayed and asked God to change it. And that was righteous. But now Esther, she is conforming to all this, and her uncle is encouraging her. What's the difference? The king is Esther's husband. She's doing it for him. And men cannot lust after you, wives. And when you make yourself sexually exciting for your husband, that is not carnal. Who are you saving yourself for, ladies? Are you thinking, well, you know, I don't want to give it all to my husband. He might die. I better hold something back for the next guy I marry. Is that what you're thinking? No, this is it. And you should give yourself completely as Esther did. And 13, the young lady would go into the king in this way. Anything that she desired was given to her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem to the custody
of Shehagez, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines, she would not again go into the king unless he delighted in her, and she was summoned by name. So what's Esther's goal here? To make herself sexually delightful to the king, isn't it? These are not church clothes. Okay? Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, advised, and Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Now, you can go to a Christian bookstore and you can see little pictures with verses on them, can't you? And you can see little sculptures with verses on them, can't you? And little vases with verses on you, and all these little things with verses on you, can't you? But is there a lingerie section in the Christian bookstore? Is there? Is there? So in your Christian bookstore, there's a place where women can buy bras and panties. No, there's no lingerie section, is there? Why? I mean, she can buy things that aren't books there. Why? It's because of the feminization of the spiritual relation between men and women, where women are taught to love their husband as if their husband were their sister or an obligation, and that sexual ministry is not, sexual excitement is not a ministry, which it is. Because that's what Esther did, didn't she? And she found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Now, is it a sin to go swimming? Is it? They'll have to. Is it a sin to go swimming? Do you wear church clothes when you go swimming? No, you don't do it. But you don't wear your swimsuit to church, do you? So ladies, there is church clothes. And then there are those things you wear to sexually excite your husband. So how do you find out what those things are, ladies? How did Esther find out? Well, she went to school, didn't she? And she studied what excited the king. Your husband says, you know, the house needs, plumbing needs fixed, so I'm going to go buy some plumbing utensils. And then he comes home and says, no, we're not going to fix the plumbing, and we're not going to have plumbers fix the plumbing because none of them are deacons or pastors. No. You know, for him to take responsibility of the home, they don't have to be deacons and pastors for him to learn, do they? And it's the same with you, ladies. You can minister to the sexual excitement of your husband. How do you find out? Well, you ask your mother. Is that how you find out, Bill Hunter? No. You ask the sisters in the church? No. You read a book written by women? No. Who do you ask? Your husband. And Eleanor will ask me if we're around lingerie, while women's underwear, and it's going to be not utilitarian, what she would wear in church, but something to it. She'd say, do you like this or this? Do you like that or that? Some men like wet legs, some men like breasts more. Some men like red lipstick, some men like no makeup. Some men like this or that. You ask your husband. And then when you find out what pleases your husband, what do you do if you're Esther? You please him, don't you? That's what you do. How about Rebecca? Let's look at Genesis 26:8. You say, well, I just can't do that. Okay, let's play that game. You can't minister to your husband by being sexually exciting. Then he gets to say, well, then I don't have to talk to you. Or is that how we're going to have good marriages? just take things off the table. I can't submit to your spiritual leadership. I have my own ministry. That's fine. I not only won't go to church with you, I just won't come home at night. I'll take a job in another city. Is that how we're going to have a good marriage? By taking things off the table? No, to have a good marriage by keeping things on the table. What does Genesis 26:8 say? Let's look at that. It came about when they had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Now, was don't you touch me, I'm a good Jewish girl. My mother warned me about men. Is that what she said? No, she let him, didn't she? So, what about you and your husband? You're coming home from church, you're in the car, no one can see you, and he wants to put his hands on you and caress you. Do you slap his hand away? Why? That's what a single woman does. If you want to slap your husband's hand away, stay single. If you're going to be married, encourage him. My wife encourages me. She wants me to be free with her body because she loves me and she loves Jesus and she wants to minister to me. Whose hands do you want your husband putting his hands on? Whose? Nobody's? So you're just going to trap him in his bed. He never gets to do it. There are some men who walk through the shopping center and see extremely erotic lingerie. They see pictures of perfume for sale with women dressed provocatively. They see these advertisements. And you know what they think? I wonder if any people really live like that. Because my wife denies it to me. My wife denies it. So, ladies, being sexually exciting for your husband to gaze upon you, that is part of your ministry to him. Now, these are Bible verses, right? Esther, right? Rebecca, right? Okay, let's try Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1:8. Things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Men. The ear is never filled with hearing. Women. Your ladies, you are a black hole when it comes to emotional talk, 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 hear, hear, hear. And I want the men to believe that. I don't want them to understand it. Because they never will. They never will understand it. If I'm on a long-haul flight with my wife for 9 hours, it would not be unusual for us to engage in conversation for almost the entire time. If I'm sitting next to Rich, after we exchange a few pleasantries, he'll get out his Bible, I'll get out my Bible. Every once in a while we'll make comments to each other, but we'll primarily fly solitary. That's us. Our ears are full of hearing. Okay? So, but what's the first half, ladies? The eye is not satisfied with seeing. When will your husband have seen your body enough? And the answer is never. And you should make sure when you're changing clothes, when you're bathing, when you're alone with him, that you allow him to cast his gaze upon you and feast his eyes. That's your ministry. Why do I need pornography when I have a wife who will meet my needs? Let's look at Proverbs 27:20. This is the Bible, right? So, Proverbs 27. We like Proverbs? Do we like Proverbs? We like Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs 27:20. Sheol and Abednon are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man satisfied. He will always want to look. Always. And we should be with wives, you should be willing to allow him to do so. Turn with me to Proverbs 5. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. That's singular. He has one wife to refresh himself with. He has no other alternatives. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, as a loving hind and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated with her love. Ladies, why is your husband fixated with your breast? Is it because his mother didn't nurse him enough? Is it evolution? No, it is how God made him. And your ministry to him is to let your breast satisfy him at all times. In your intimate clothing, in your willingness to expose yourself to him. What if your husband were to ask you, you're in the bedroom alone, there's no children there, and your husband says, "Hey, would you lift your top for me?" What would you do? Would you do it? If you love Jesus, you will, because you are commanded by God that your breast should satisfy him. And he's having the need to see breasts. He's not going to look at pornography. He's not going to look out of his lattice like David did at some girl on the streets or some neighbor. He wants to look at you. Are you going to deny him and tempt him virtually beyond his power to resist because you're a good girl, Christian girl, and you don't let your husband look at you? No! Don't do that. If you expect your husband to learn all of the skills of conversation and all of the skills of listening, and you won't learn all of the skills of sexual enticement, then you're a hypocrite. If you expect to say to your husband, "When you say these things, it hurts me, please don't say them," or, "You know, I would really like to hear these things," and you expect your husband to be responsive, but when your husband says, "I really like it when you dress like this," or, "I really like it when you stimulate me like this," but you're not willing to do that, you're a hypocrite. So don't be a hypocrite. Don't do it. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, and we're going to close with this. What does verse 4 say? The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, the wife. So, gentlemen, your ear and your voice belong to your wife, not to you. Okay? Wives, your body and your sexually exciting ministry and how you minister to your husband is defined by and belongs to him. And for this marriage to work, both of you have to do that. So, ladies, here is your project. Okay? So, all the ladies who are here, if you are taking notes, I'm going to give you this project, but we'll also be posting it tomorrow because we're coming to an end. Here's your project. Okay? I want you to read Song of Solomon. I want you to read it 8 times. Okay? Once a week for the next 8 weeks. Okay? The first time, you can read it more than that, but you can pace yourself if you want to. And I want you to keep a notebook. On page one of the notebook, I wanted to say, the wife takes initiative. She is sexually aggressive. And then I want you to find every verse in the Song of Solomon, which is the bridal song, where the wife takes the initiative. 8:14, the wife says, "Hurry, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountain of spices." When's the last time your husband walked in the front door and you grabbed him and you're walking backwards? The children are gone. Hurry, be like a stag. Take me, take me, take me. Let's do it now before the kids come home. Quick. Well, there are other verses like that, and they are the Bible. The next thing you're going to look for is verbal expression. You're going to look at what the wife says. You're going to look at her verbal expression. Like the wife says in Song of Solomon 6:2, "My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of balsam, to the pasture his flock, to the gardens and gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He who pastures his flock among the lilies. You are beautiful, my darling." And then she goes on to express all his manly attributes. Do you do that? Do you do that? Especially his sexual organs. Do you praise those and tell him how endowed he is and how fortunate you are and what a man of men he is? Third, eyes. You're going to look, the next third thing you're going to look for is eyes. How, verse 115, "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves." So you're going to see how she uses her eyes and the importance of eyes. The fourth thing you are going to look for is how free she is with her body and her beauty. She's not constrained with her body and beauty. The fifth is perfume. You're going to look, well, how does she use perfume in the home and on her body to excite her husband? Number six, mouth and lips. Song of Solomon 1:2. "May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than the wine." When's the last time, ladies, you said that? "Kiss me more. No, kiss me more. Oh, this is so wonderful. It's better than wine. Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me." Number seven, your breasts. We looked at Proverbs 5:19, but you'll look at Solomon also. In the last, you will look at the principle, 1 Corinthians 7:4, that your body doesn't belong to you. And remember, I close and I will say, men, your voice and your ear does not belong to you. It belongs to your wife. But ladies, the sexual excitement of your body and how you use your body to please your husband does not belong to you. That belongs to your husband. And just like the husband should be willing to listen, and when you say this, it hurts my feeling, but when you say this, I really enjoy it, and I want to hear about this, but these subjects make me uncomfortable, and it's just so wonderful that you will just sit there and listen to me while I talk and talk and talk, and I never have to worry. You'll always forgive me, and you'll always receive my request in the same way. You will ask your husband, "What excites you? What am I doing that you like? And how can I dress to excite you?" Yeah. May God add his blessing to his holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.